We're going to kind of pick up where we left off last Sunday night. And as Roger announced this morning, I hadn't even got home last Sunday night. And Jeff had already texted me about the lesson and commented about how much he liked it and asked me to make that list available. And I was very impressed by that idea and the idea that he wanted to make that a part of his daily life. And so I kind of built off of that with the idea tonight of accomplishing something. So question, how many of you made your bed this morning? John goes, I actually did, and that's a rarity, but it was based on this thought, and I've been thinking about it all week. To me, it was always the idea, why in the world am I going to make the bed that I'm going to turn around and get back in later this evening? You know, it's just ready. If the sheets are back, I don't have to wrestle them. But I was reading something and it really caught my attention. And so I began to think about it. And so not only did I make my bed, and Riley always makes his, but I went by and made sure that Braden made his. And again, we're kind of picking up where we were last week. And the idea is that maybe even before we get to this big to-do list that we talked about, why not, as soon as we get out of bed, have in our minds already that we're going to accomplish something, both in the kingdom, spiritually, and in our physical lives, and that we're going to do those things immediately, as soon as our feet hit the floor. And it may be making the bed, or I'll point out it may be something else later. And the idea is that it sets the tone for the day. You've accomplished something immediately. It's also the idea that at least one thing was accomplished. The rest of the day may be a total disaster and you may not be able to accomplish a thing, but at least before the world attacked, you made your bed. Or, and we're going to flip it onto the spiritual world in a minute, you read your Bible, you said a prayer, whatever. Here's where this came from. Admiral William H. McRaven, 36-year-old Navy SEAL, and he gave the commencement address back in 2014 to the graduating class at the University of Texas in Austin. And as an OU fan, that just left a terrible taste in my mouth to even have to say that. The lesson, and I'm not going through all of it, was 10 lessons to change the world. It was the first one that got my attention. It was the first one that really jumped off the page because not only did it set the tone for the other nine, it really addressed an idea in our spiritual lives. This is what he said based on just this one thought. Every morning, basic SEAL training, my instructors would show up in our barracks, and the first thing they did was inspect your bed. If you had done it right, the corners would be square, the covers pulled tight, the pillow centered just under the headboard, extra blanket folded neatly at the foot of the rack, and he went on to explain that that's Navy talk for bed. Simple task. He said, mundane at best, but every day, before they were allowed to do anything else, they were required to make their beds to perfection. And it had to pass inspection. And if it did not, you remade it, and you paid the price. So it started out, it seemed ridiculous that it was such a big deal that you made your bed and you made it the Navy way. Said over the years, however, the wisdom of this simple act has proven itself to me many times over. And he began to make a couple of points. So number one, if you make your bed every morning, you will have accomplished the first task of the day. By the end of the day, that one task completed will have turned into many tasks completed. You've set the tone. You've begun the day in a productive way, and then you have the ability to key off of that and know, hey, I've already been successful in something. Now I take the next step and the next. Making your bed also reinforces the fact that little things in life matter. In other words, the Navy was telling them, if you cannot do the little things right, how can we trust you to do the big things right? If you cannot make your bed the way we tell you to, how do we turn you loose with a rifle or a mission? And he said, if by chance you have a miserable day, you come home to a bed that is made, that you made. And that bed, in the parentheses, they're mine, or it is mine, reminds you that the day was not a waste. Number one, you accomplished something. But he said on top of that, it reminds you that tomorrow will be better. That at least you walked into your barracks and it was not a pigsty. The bed was neat. The bed was made properly. You made it. And you can start the day over. Then he said, if you want to change the world, start off by making your bed. As I read, as I began to think about that in relationship to not only my physical life, but the Word of God, I realized there's the biblical idea there. Have you ever noticed that those who are successful in whatever field they choose are generally those who pay attention to the little things? They're generally the ones that take care of the details, that make sure every step of the process is done right. And I think that's a lesson, and I want you to go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1. I think that's a lesson that God tried to instill in man from the very beginning. It's something that he tried to instill in Adam in the garden. What was it that God, right after he makes Adam, in the summary part of it, before he gets to the details, in the summary part of it in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and following, what is it that Adam told God he was to do? Or vice versa, excuse me. God told Adam he was to do. Verse 28. Verse 27, he created them. Verse 28, God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth, subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. When you take all of that together, Adam, right out of the box, the very first thing God's telling him to do is huge. I need you to rule the world. I need you to be in charge of the things that are going on down there with my help. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth. In the direction that you subdue it and you rule over it. That's a lot of task. That's a lot of responsibility. So watch this. To get ready for that moment, basically God says, I need to teach you to do the little things first. I need to get you ready to subdue the whole earth. And so it says that he made a garden. And he planted the garden and he put man in it. Verse 15 of chapter 2, he said, the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. Notice the progression. God said, I need you to learn to take care of this little corner of the earth first. Cultivate this garden, take care of it, tend it. When you're ready, you can move on to subduing the whole world. You can move on to taking care of the whole earth. But it seems that God was not quite sure that he was ready to do that. because then he gives him a little smaller task. If you skip down to verses 19 and 20, God said, before you can take care of this whole garden, you've got to learn this garden. And so I'm going to have every animal that I've ever created file past you. And you need to name them. And so now we reverse it. What we have is, let's name the animals. Let's start with the smaller things. Let's learn to take care of the garden. We'll move to something a little bit bigger. Then you can subdue the whole earth. And you can rule over it. See, God understood man. God, as the Creator, understood that we have to start small. That we have to work our way up. You know, we use phrases like, you have to crawl before you can walk, you have to walk before you can run. We understand it in physical education, in intellectual education. We teach the basics. We don't send our kids to kindergarten and expect them to come home the first day with a cow book. Okay? We're happy when they get through with kindergarten if we can count and maybe add the smallest of numbers. So, principle God's put in place from the beginning. It's also a lesson that he reinforces on several occasions. Look at the text. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. And remember the overall context. When you get to the book of Romans, and you read from Romans right up to basically the edge of Revelation, you're dealing with the manual, you're dealing with the life book, you're dealing with how to accomplish the things God has given us to accomplish. You're reading the book that where God says, this is what you have to do. And notice how even Paul talks about the little things. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. Okay. So Paul, what am I going to do that's going to distinguish me from the unwise? How is it that I'm going to go about taking care of my business and be careful how I walk and walk as a wise man? Verse 16, making the most of your time because the days are evil. Very similar to what God said back in Genesis. Do your best. Do it every minute of every day. Do it in every circumstance. Make the most of the time. And so we roll out of bed and the first thing that we have on our hands is time. Because God has allowed us to sleep through the night. He's allowed us to wake up to a new day. And so we have that whole day stretching out in front of us. And so he says, seize the moment. Make the most of it. Do something in the time. Accomplish it. Because as every second ticks by, that's 1 second, we are not getting back. We cannot go back and accomplish something in that time that we let slide. Matthew chapter 25, Jesus teaches this lesson this way. We know the parable. We know the parable well. We know it because we emphasize everybody has an ability. God expects us to use that ability. God expects us to give back, that we're accountable for it. But notice what the master says to each of the servants. Five-talent man gives us an account. You gave me 5 talents. I've returned them. Here are 5 more. Verse 21, the master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. What made him good? What made him faithful? You were faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Sounds like the Navy read that. You make your bed, and I can trust you to do the next job. Verse 23. The 2-talent man has given his report. He's doubled his. Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. So again, the idea. God says, not only is it about talents and abilities and wealth or whatever I'm giving you and you returning it to me. He said, it's about me teaching you responsibility. It's about me teaching you to take care of the little steps so that I can trust you with the bigger steps and ultimately maybe the biggest step. Jesus continues though with that thought. Watch his response now to the one talent man. Now remember, he had ability. He's being held accountable for not doing anything with his ability. But notice the wording. Verse 26. But his master answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy slave. You didn't do anything. You didn't make the most of your time. You did not make the most of the one responsibility I gave you. You didn't use the ability I gave you to do anything. You're wicked. You're lazy. You're worthless for the work that I have. He goes on, you know where I didn't sow. I reap where I didn't sow. I gather where I scatter no seed. You could have at least put my money in the bank. On my arrival, I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10. To everyone who has shall more be given. He who has an abundance, but from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Jesus says, if I give you the smallest possible task to do, to get you ready to do the bigger, and you cannot do the smallest, I just have to take it all away from you. Because I cannot trust you to get the next job done. Because going back to our illustration, you didn't even make your bed. He said, all you had to do to show that I could trust you with this task was walk to the bank and give it to the banker. And at least bring me back a few pennies in interest. But you were too lazy to do that. Acts chapter 1. Jesus is ascending to heaven. Beyond the Great Commission, Jesus is now giving them the absolute last instruction he's going to give these guys in the physical world. The instructions, you're going to be my witnesses. You're going to be my witnesses on the other side of the planet from day one. Is that what he said? Is that what he said? No. He said, I need you first of all to take care of Jerusalem, right? Then we'll handle Judea. Then you can go to Samaria. Then, if you've taken it in the steps I intended and you've shown you're faithful in the little things one step at a time, then he said you can go to the most remote parts of the world and you can conquer the world. That sounds a whole lot like Genesis 1. Sounds like a whole lot like Matthew 25 in Ephesians 5. Start with the little. Go to the bigger, then maybe still a little bigger, and finally, you're qualified to do the biggest task of all. Here's the point. If we start out the day accomplishing something, something beneficial to physical life, something beneficial to the kingdom, the day will never be wasted. I will have for that day one notch in my belt, one tick on the calendar. I will have done something of value. And maybe, just maybe, that will roll into bigger and better things. Certainly it applies in the kingdom. It normally applies in the workforce, that when the boss figures out he can trust us with some responsibility, we get a little more, and we get a little more. So I roll out of bed and I make the bed. Or when I make my way to the bathroom, I wipe off the bathroom counter. Or if I make it to the kitchen, I empty the dishwasher. Or maybe if I start with one and move to the next one and move to the next one, by the time I get to the breakfast table, I've accomplished three or four things. And it didn't cost me a whole lot of time. It did not cost me a whole lot of effort. And I'm probably going to feel pretty good about it. So let's roll it over to our spiritual lives. What if, first thing in the morning, I stop and say thank you to a God who woke me up? What if I stop and ask the God who woke me up to bless my day? Maybe the rest of my day doesn't explode all around me because I've included, what did we say this morning? Including God in our plans keeps it from being such a disaster. So maybe my day doesn't become a disaster because I've kept God in it from the beginning. Maybe first thing in the morning, before I worry about everything else that has to be done, before I worry about the grocery list, and I worry about washing the next load of clothes or whatever, what if I take out the Word of God? And I let Him speak to me after I've spoken to Him. What if I let Him equip me right out of the box to accomplish my to-do list? What if I start off my day by sending a card or making a phone call or sending a text or an email? What if my day gets started with the smallest thing that I could do for somebody else and start his or her day right? Maybe that rolls into the next time I see that person doing something bigger or it being returned. Maybe if I've read my Bible and said my prayer and done a good deed to start the day, when my day gets really kicked off and I'm out of the house, the first person I meet who's not a Christian, I've already developed the boldness to say something about my Savior. All because I went to SEAL training and learned to make my bed. Do something small. This is God's formula from the beginning. And you will be preparing yourself to do the bigger things as they come. Rather than avoiding the smaller things that we think are maybe demeaning or mundane or whatever, and then being caught unprepared for the bigger things and being blown away. So we work our way up. By the way, you'll also have accomplished something worthwhile. If you do not get anything done in the whole day, because everything goes wrong, but to make your bed and to read your Bible, you have a clean bed to get back into when you go to bed that night, and you have communicated with your God. Success. I did something. I want you to think about that in reference now, not only to our to-do list, not only to our daily lives, not only to getting something accomplished, but I want you to think about it in reference to your spiritual life. Sometimes we get hung up on, God, I need these big things. I need this or I need that. And God says, look, I started with asking you to repent. And you hadn't even been able to do that. I started with asking you to confess my Son as your Savior. And you didn't even do that. I asked you to do something as small and simple as be baptized and let me take care of the work. And you couldn't even do that. How do you expect me to let you take on the world? How do you expect me to give you any kind of responsibility if you can't even do the smallest of things for me? Maybe, just maybe, whether it's obeying the gospel or you already have and it's taking this, maybe, just maybe, God never lets us do what we want to do in the kingdom because we've not first done what He asked us to do in the kingdom. As we stand and sing.